on 1116 SEN. Crunch Time, voted most outstanding radio program 2015 for Australian Property and Business Group. Invest today at apbgroup.com.au and sportsfantasyfree.com. Play now for your chance to win.
The umpires told our players that, well, he's a ducker, so we don't pay high free kicks to Lindsay. So
they said that to the players tonight?
Yeah, they told our guys that. So that's clearly a preconceived idea. You know, you just want the umpires to umpire what they see, not their preconceived ideas. I'm just telling you what happened, because they won't tell you, that's for sure.
Certainly not ducking the issue. Brad Scott's provocative allegations already being investigated by the AFL and overshadowing a sensational and fiery game of Friday night football. Recent former umpire Stuart Wynn will join us to discuss the controversy, and veteran Drew Petrie will also be with us as the ruse rue the one that got away.
Oh! Siebel has lined out Mitchell, and here they come.
Yes, she's on now, boys.
Campbell, the white Isaac Smith, he's running and bouncing, running and gunning, runs the 48 metres, and Smith kicks the goal! That's how you answer a big hit.
Advantage taken by Mitchell, dubious advantage. Oh, touched they're off after the boot, him there. And they crash in again. Siebel picks it up, and he's kicked the goal! He has kicked the goal! Mason Wood keeps it in. Thomas, flying shot. They're looking, we're looking, everyone's looking. It sailed through for a miracle goal. Slapshot from the pocket is in. Bruce took it, gives it to Piopolo, just inside the line. Be tough from here. Brilliant handball to Sicily, who has to shake off the tackle and then kick a goal with fantastic authority. And the Hawks might just be back here at Etihad Stadium. Goldstein gives back to Del Santo, and his heyday could kick a goal from there. Steps inside instead, lobs it to full forward. One! Mason Wood!
Dan Mitchell got the handball away in a hurry, and then McMillan threw his head back for the free kick. Now you're gone! You are gone!
He's saying he caught one in the face.
He kicks a goal, and he puts it through! And there's the win for Hawthorn.
Been a huge effort by the Kangaroos, but in the end they've fallen short. The Hawks have done it. They've done it again, as they always seem to. They just know how to win, and they've done it to North. When they look down and out early in the game, it's the Hawks by 9, and who's to say they won't keep doing it all season long?
It was a different sort of game than perhaps a lot of people would have expected, in a sense. It was very, very physical. It was played like a finals game tonight, and really proud of the resilience of our group, and got ourselves a pretty stirring victory in the end.
A delighted coach, Alistair Clarkson, and star ruckman Ben McAvoy. He's going to join us as we ponder if they can keep doing it all the way to another flag. Also coming up, it's been a horror year for the Lions, with Justin Lepich under the pump. Former Hawks coach and now Brisbane talent acquisition manager Peter Swab will join us, and we'll discuss all the coaches under pressure in the crunch, and of course turn on the love with another chapter of Derm's Diaries. It's another big edition of Crunch Time, with thanks to Australian Property and Business Group. Invest today at apbgroup.com.au and Sports Fantasy Free. That's sportsfantasyfree.com. It's where you go to play now for your chance to win.
I hope you feel it the way I feel it. Hope you feel it the way I feel it too.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Crunch Time. We're going to speak very shortly to former umpire Stuart Wynn. Massive controversy after the comments from Brad Scott last night, and we'll be able to get it too from one of the players that were very close to the scene, Drew Petrie. I wonder what the Roo veteran heard and what he will share with us. Also, as I said, Ben McAvoy going to join us. We'll talk a lot about all the coaches are under pressure, particularly Justin Lepich. We're at the Gabba this morning. Dermot Brereton is up here with me.
Morning, hello. Morning, boys. They got out of jail, the Hawks. Or had all the hallmarks of one that got away from North Melbourne.
And David King, you could tell in the post-match, before we get to the really provocative comments from Brad Scott, that I thought it was as chipper as I've heard Alistair Clarkson almost after a win. He was very, very happy to get away with the points there, where it leads them. But in contrast, Brad Scott, when he was talking about the game, he said it with such strength. He'd locked the players away, didn't let the media in, which doesn't happen very often these days. He really thought that was the one that got away, and that in fact, in his words, they deserved to win, but just didn't.
Yeah, probably right. And fascinating last night chatting with Dermot. I was proud of the Kangaroos last night, and I made the comment that not all wins have 4 points attached to them. I think they changed the mindset of the North Melbourne Football Club last night. They'd been bullied. They'd been pushed aside, belted up, whatever wording you want to use over the last 3 to 4 years by Hawthorn. And they took a stand last night with an undermanned team. They missed weight enormously. They missed the two midfielders in Swallow and Cunnington enormously. And I just thought for the first time they stood up for themselves. Now, Derm talked about the line in the sand game, the famous one with Hawthorn and Essendon all those years ago. And everyone forgets the scoreline. I think you said it was 70 points, Derm.
Massive. The actual win for Essendon,
But
Hawthorn won.
But Hawthorn won in terms of turning their club around. And I thought last night, for the first time, that's the North Melbourne I want to see. Playing on the edge. Get those members back into the team and away they go. So maybe they didn't get the 4 points, but I thought it was a really defining night for the
club. I agree with that.
History's right. Littered with those games. Essendon did it to North Melbourne in 1998, which is a long time ago now.
Was that the marshmallow game?
No. Mick Martin picked up James Hurd and dragged him by his jumper around the MCG. And Essendon said, that ain't going to happen ever again. So,
as coarse as it sounds, Rob, and we have purists who say, just play for the sport and the purity of the sport. And I use the word, but in the right way, it's a violent sport.
Yes, it is.
There's a lot of contact.
Yep.
And controlled violence wins this sport on top of two evenly matched teams.
I thought it was a great exhibition of Australian rules football last night.
Did you think they just overdid it a bit in the second? They let it get going a bit too
long. Yeah, they did
touch,
that.
A touch, but had they kicked straight, you'd have said no, they didn't.
Yeah, it was a terrific game. Proud of both teams.
All right,
From Hawthorn and the fight from North Melbourne.
Yeah, we'll get to analysing where it leaves the Hawks. It leaves them very well placed on the ladder, obviously right up there at the top of the ladder with the teams that are going as well as anyone. But we'll talk about that a little later and chat to Ben McAvoy. It was all overshadowed. It's a pity in a way, given there's a lot to talk about from the game. But these comments from Brad Scott following the non-free kick to Lindsay Thomas in the first half. Let's have a listen to what Brad Scott had to say.
Oh, I know he is, yeah. Yeah, because the umpire's told our players that, he's a ducker, so we don't pay high free kicks to Lindsay. So,
they said that to the players tonight?
Yeah, they told our guys that. So that's clearly a preconceived idea. You just want the umpires to umpire what they see, not their preconceived ideas.
So they said that on the field, did they, tonight?
Yep.
So how concerning is that?
Oh, it was for Hayden Kennedy to deal with, not for me. I'm just telling you what happened, because they won't tell you, that's for sure.
You'd be asking for a please explain if that's...
No, I mean, Lindsay's just got to keep playing. And the umpires have got to do their job. And we can't influence them. They've just got to pay what they see. And you'll get some, you'll have some go for you, some go against you. Our instruction to Lindsay is just to keep playing. Let the umpires do their job.
That's Brad Scott last night. The AFL said in a statement this morning it will examine all interactions and conversations between umpires and players. The AFL will also ask North Melbourne to provide the AFL with a complete detail of the exchange that Coach Brad Scott referred to in his post-match comments and when it occurred and who was involved. They will listen to the MatchCom recording. So
there's a recording of every...
All the conversations.
Every utterance that all the umpires make. So it'll be there. If it's been said... It'll be there.
Stuart Wynn, former umpire, is about to join us. But just before he does, Robbo, what's your immediate thoughts upon last night and this morning hearing those comments?
There's so many. I mean, this goes in a million different directions. First of all, this is a huge story.
Huge.
We have a football club and a coach, and clearly was seething last night because they banned all media from the North Melbourne rooms. Usually they will welcome in every media person. They banned them all. So they were seething. So this was absolutely prepared response by Brad Scott. And good on him. If that is what's happened, he has every right to say, hey, you're preconceiving our players. That's fine. Then another issue is, and this is going to be a little bit delicate, another issue is people will say, and I think it a little bit, Lindsay, for 8-9 years you've been doing this, and the umpire, and it's been a real sort of, central to the season a couple of times. You've been doing it for so long. I don't actually sit here and admonish the umpires for doing that, because they're only human. And every time, Dermot, you put it on the agenda last time what happened. It was the biggest story for 4 days. They read the papers. They know what's going on. They feel that, God, no, he's ducking again. I won't pay that free kick. Now, the replay showed that he should have got a free kick. Absolutely got a free kick. So... This decision, I suppose, has been coming for many years. But
according to the current way that rule is adjudicated, Lindsay should have got two free kicks. Sicily should have got free kicks. According to the spirit of the game and what I'm pushing for, Lindsay shouldn't have got free kicks and James Sicily shouldn't have got free kicks. When, and I copped a little bit on the social media last night. I said, will you go as hard on Sicily? You know what? I'll go hard on Sicily. Didn't like it. Don't like it. Don't want to see him do it. Want to see him stamp it out of his game and not try and milk free kicks. So that's hard. Not as hard as I went on Lindsay, because Lindsay's the one and only player I've seen in history actually reverse into somebody to get the head high.
Have we had a problem?
Seen that. We haven't seen that before. I have the absolute 100% confidence there's going to be a rewriting of this rule at season's end.
Stuart Wynn is on the line, Robbo, before we go any further. And he, obviously, a very experienced umpire. So let's join him. Stuart, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Pleasure, Hutto. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me on.
They're pretty serious allegations made by the coach that an umpire would say that to a player, and that's probably what's astonished us all in some ways. What's your immediate thoughts upon hearing those comments?
Look, they are really serious allegations. I think, you know, Robbo called it out. This is a really, really big story. It's a very serious issue because... And it's complex. There's a number of things that we probably need to unpack here. The first one is the comment around we won't pay free kicks to Lindsay because he's a ducker. That calls into question the integrity of the umpires in that they have, as Brad said, a preconceived idea that a player won't be awarded free kicks even if he deserves them because the umpires believe that he plays in a certain way. I guess we'll find out very quickly this morning, probably by lunchtime, I'd imagine, or early this afternoon, whether or not those comments actually occurred, because as Dern pointed out, the umpires are mic'd, it's all recorded. There's people at the AFL now going through those recordings on both sides, and that'll obviously reach a resolution at some stage. I would imagine today they'd be keen to nip that in the butt. The second piece around the integrity issue is the comments probably call into question the AFL itself. When he said, I'm telling you what happened, they won't tell you, that's for sure. Which again is an issue for the AFL. And look, we all know that in press conferences after the game can be quite emotional and quite heated, and people probably say things that later they might not wish they had said. In terms of the third issue, the preconceived ideas issue, like coaches who study the game plans, tactics of other sides, like players who are, you know, going to line up on someone this week, they obviously do a lot of research around the way that individual plays and how they're then going to play against them. Umpires are exactly the same, as you guys called out earlier in the conversation, where you know they have a knowledge of how particular players play and the certain things they do, and it would be naive to think that they didn't take that out there into the game, that knowledge, and have an awareness of that. Now, to draw the conclusion from that it means that they won't pay free kicks when those free kicks are warranted, is clearly not the case. And, you know, Brad's right in what he said, that umpires should just pay what they see. And they're instructed to do that, and obviously if they don't, then they'll be dropped and they'll be running around in the VFL or the SANFL, and ultimately if they did that continually, well, they wouldn't be on the list.
How big of an issue in the sense where, Stu, North Melbourne lost a game last night, Lindsay Thomas doesn't get free kicks. If it's true that the umpires have said, no, we're not, you know, he's a ducker, I mean, that goes to the very heart of our game. This is win and loss. I mean, the Kangaroos could have won last night's game. I would think there's a bigger issue than just say, oh, well, we'll send the umpires back to the VFL or the Sandful or the Waffle and let them spend a couple of weeks here. I mean, this is goes to the very heart and integrity of the competition, doesn't it?
No doubt. And that's why it's a serious issue, Robbo, is because when you make comments like this, it does go to the heart of the integrity of the game. Not only the individuals, in this case the umpires, but the integrity of the game itself. And as we know, integrity is a big issue in sports globally. There's a lot of investment made in making sure that that sport is a true contest. And you know, if the comments were proved to be correct and the umpires actually umpired that way, then it would be a major issue. But I'm very confident that wouldn't be the case. I know these individuals personally. I know their integrity. I know their backgrounds. I know their families. I know the jobs they have. And we've seen through other examples over the last decade where there's been comments allegedly made and then they've been investigated, we've seen that they haven't necessarily been said in the way that was felt at the time. And perhaps those, you know, it could be the same in this case, but I guess we'll see how that plays out.
Brad would, Robbo, and Brad would want to be right with this, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would.
But how can he be right? How can he know he was right? He's only going on what the players have told him, obviously.
But
so
he would
that's
believe,
dangerous ground, is it not?
Yeah, he would believe his players, though. I mean, they're in the post-match. They're angry. Lindsay comes up. Someone says, actually, I heard an umpire say that. I mean, this is not sitting in the dock at a court. They're sitting in their footy gear in the coach's room. And someone says, yeah, I heard that. And then suddenly Brad goes, what? What? This is how I reckon it played out. What? Yeah, I heard that as well. Yeah, there might be confusion over he's a ducker. Yeah. You might have said he ducked.
And it's quite reasonable, Robbo, and I would have said it over my career where, you know, a player's ducked and the rule around head-high contact at the moment means if you duck, and that's different to what we saw in Sydney a couple of weeks ago when Dermy first raised it, that wasn't ducking, that was sliding or lowering yourself into the tackle. When a player ducks and draws contact as a result of that, the umpire will say to him, look, you ducked, I'm not paying a brief for that play on. And that's the way the rules to be interpreted. It could have been a situation like that, but then, you know, people have felt they've heard it differently. And the context is very important when we're talking about these comments, because when you say it like that, that's giving a player an explanation in accordance with the rules of the game as to why you haven't paid a free kick, which he's entitled to.
But if that's the case, Stuart, and the umpires, we're led to believe, do all this homework and they know who the players who are likely to duck and try and draw a free kick, then why is James Sicily getting free kicks at the other end when he's had the fourth highest amount of head-high free kicks this year?
Yep.
You can't have it one way and not the other.
And that's why
Lindsay's only had two
speaking
prior to last night.
Yeah, and look, that's why you've got to pay what you see. And I think, you know, that was called out by Brad correctly. And the incident that I had a quick look this morning, the incident that I think everyone was talking about, that high tackle in front of goal after a door-dropped mark, was clearly a free kick. And I can only conclude, not seeing the wide-angle vision, that the umpire was probably behind Lindsay and thought it might have come across the chest and not had high contact. Because the umpires are instructed, if they don't actually see the contact, that they can't pay a free kick. The last thing we want is umpires guessing. But I guess because of the conversations that have been happening, as Robbo said, over a number of years, but more recently in the last few weeks, it's drawn a lot of interest or debate about, whether there is a preconceived idea around not awarding free kicks, especially when comments like that are relayed to Brad post-game.
Stuart, can I ask you then, the inconsistency or the variance between, we had four umpires for the first time last night. Is there a variance between the depiction of what is and isn't a free kick in terms of the way the body moves between one umpire at the other end and passed down to the fourth umpire at the other end? Because it was inconsistent. What Sicily got in terms of head-high free kicks, Lindsay should have got the same.
And look, I didn't see the whole game, Dermot. I'll take what you're saying as fact. There's no doubt that one of the challenges around the more umpires you put in there, it's really important that you have a consistency of interpretation. And look, the guys and the umpiring group and Hayden will obviously be coaching them every week around trying to make sure that we get those consistencies right, because the last things the game wants is someone at one end of the ground interpreting a free kick differently to the person at the other end of the ground. So that's a key focus of the coaching. To make sure that there's a consistency of interpretation around the various rules.
So for the rest of our boys here, can I ask, did Scotty actually say that Sicily deserved the free kicks or Lindsay deserved the free kicks and didn't get it?
He didn't. No, it was about Lindsay. He didn't want to comment on Sicily.
Okay, so otherwise, if it was like 3 weeks ago, he would have had to defend Sicily and say, according to the rules, Sicily deserved those free kicks.
Well, I don't think he did, but...
But I'm just saying you can't... You also made mention...
In fairness to Brad...
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You well, can't... He can't come out and attack Sicily now.
He did say that the free kick at the end of the game that was paid, the holding the ball against North, should have been paid, so...
Now, he's been completely honest right the way through, Brad. He actually said they trained for this. He put that on the record on the couch a fortnight ago. He said, no, this is a legitimate tactic. We trained for this. So he can't be more honest with the public. What we need to hear now, what we need to hear is the exact audio.
Yeah.
I don't want someone's version of events.
Well, if do you think
got
Brad
this
did...
recorded,
we will. We will know within a couple of hours.
I don't want to hear it boys, second hand.
Do you think it was smart of Brad to say that after the game or not?
No.
Yes, I do. Bloody
no.
Why wouldn't it be smart?
Well, because...
It's going to be proven on tape. And look, if it is proven, he can march up and say, look, we want a better shot next time. But he still lost the game. If it's not proven... He's got some explaining.
If it's not proven, Brad will have to come out and issue an apology. Mm. He will, to the umpires. Now, where it goes from there, I don't know. The umpires could get there and say, yeah, no worries. Thanks, Brad. Or the umpires can say, hang on, you've really hurt my reputation here.
As Stuart said, if it's not proven, the integrity aspect here is enormous, and the besmirching of the integrity is enormous.
He could have raised this issue and put it on the agenda, which he clearly wants to do because he doesn't want Lindsay to not be treated fairly for the rest of the year. But he could have done that without going as far as he did, and at least waited to hear the audio to make sure that what the players thought they heard, they actually heard. Anyway, Stuart, well, thank you for your time, mate. What a great insight.
Yeah, thanks, Stu.
Tim Watson actually said that he heard this as well, though.
No, he said last night he can recall hearing something like that. He didn't come out
and say, well, he might have.
I'm only guessing what Tim might have heard, but he didn't say categorically. I heard this.
Well, we'll try and get Tim on. We'll give him a call.
I think he might have heard something through the call.
Don't know if he'll be on the farm or not today, Tim. We've got a lot of he said, she said.
You're wearing a lot of heat over Sicily, Derm. You know, you're wearing a hell of a lot of heat.
No, I'm not. I didn't like what Sicily did.
Yes, we had a lot of text messages still coming through. But,
yeah. But the thing about...
Well, they can text all they want. I didn't like what Sicily did.
He just
got the free kick.
Watch the game with Derm.
But isn't it funny?
Pick up on that.
How many head-high tackles for... hey, Kingy, how many head-highs for Lindsay Thomas?
Oh, I can look it up for you. Give me
five. Right, where's James
fourth.
Sicily?
He's fourth
in the comp.
Yeah.
Now, right. Brad would be frustrated that Lindsay gets signaled out all the time. And
then he got reported for the tackle that he did. That no doubt added to the fire.
Yeah, that added to it.
You're glossing over this a bit.
I don't think we're glossing over it at all, Dermot.
I dislike what Sicily did enormously. It's what Selwood does. It's what Cochin does. It's what Puopolo does. And I can't stand it. It's what Lindsay does. But Lindsay was the first to actually go into reverse to find one.
Yeah, well, that was one incident, though.
We've never seen the likes of that
before. It was one incident, though, Dan. Anyway, it's 29
minutes. It's like a self-hanging.
Ben McAvoy's waiting line. It's 29 minutes to 12. Bangs it up into the square. Hill was the unlikely fly. Cyril just passed his way through. It's mine, and it's mine alone. And kicks the goal, Cyril Rioli. That was just to calm you down, Derm. It's Ben McAvoy joins us on the line after a fantastic game of footy on a Friday night. And it was a pretty tough old affair. Ben, thanks for your time.
Yeah, no worries. Good morning, fellas.
Plenty happening out there. They really came for you. You must have enjoyed it, and I guess more than anything, enjoyed being able to get the victory after all of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a tough physical game last night, and they certainly came out. Came after us, which was it was tough, but it was really pleasing to be able to stand up to it. And I think it was you blokes are getting fairly animated in your commentary there, but I think it was probably a good spectacle for everyone to watch.
Were you expecting them, given that what had happened last time with Hodge and with Lewis, were you expecting them to come out and really make a stand physically?
Yeah, we were. We were prepared for that, but we weren't going to spend too much energy on that. We wanted to just go out and try and play really good footy. So we were prepared for it, but just glad to get on with the result in the end.
There's no doubt that North wasted chances and probably could have almost put the game out of reach. What do you think they were doing to you, particularly in the first quarter, that was you were finding so difficult?
They did have their chances, didn't they? If they'd kicked straight, it could have been a lot different result. We just couldn't get our hands on the ball enough. I think even by the end of the game, we only had about 270 disposals or something. So
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, we were probably going rushing ourselves a little bit with their ball use, especially early in the game, and they were capitalising in terms of getting shots. Just lucky for us, they weren't converting too many of the goals.
I'll just run some of those stats past you, Ben. Minus 70 in disposals, minus 27 for contested possessions, minus 15 for marks. You actually only took 65 marks. I can't really recall a Hawthorn outfit winning in this recent era with just 65 marks. Minus 7 for inside 50s. How do you win? How do you win with those stats that are coming up? I mean, the game, and I use the words game craft of this team. People say, oh, they never say die, blah, blah, blah. But it really does come down to game craft given what they have let you have with the footy.
Yeah, I'll call it what you want, Dan, but in the end, you just have to find a way to win sometimes. So certainly credit to them. They've made it really tough for us and we didn't play exactly the sort of footy that we wanted to play, but what was so pleasing was that we did just find a way, and obviously we've got a fair few more young players playing at the minute. There's still so much experience out there, and guys who can keep a level head in those tight situations, and call it game craft if you want, but just knowing what to do when push comes to shove.
You got banged up on the half forward flank there at one stage. What happened?
I copped an errant knee in the back of the calf, so I was battling a little bit after that. She's a contact sport we play, so sometimes you get to dish them out, and last night was my turn to take one.
Can I just ask, Ben, do you think the Kangaroos were looking for contact last night early? Were looking for want of a better word, violence, as you put it before, Derm? They were looking to make a statement against you guys who'd probably bullied them around the last couple of years?
I don't know what exactly their mindset was, but certainly from the first bounce down the forward line, they came out and started it. So I suppose they had something along those lines. But whatever their mindset was, we were ready to deal with it, and we did in the end.
Do you think it worked against them at stages through the course of the game?
Oh, it's hard to say, but certainly I think we've probably got some guys in our side that sort of thing fires them up and really gets them going. So whether that happened last night or not, I'm not sure. But, we were certainly prepared for it.
Are you, Ben, it's Mark Robinson here. There's a lot of spot fires after the sirens in quarters and a lot of milling around. Do you get involved in that, or what are you, the peacekeeper?
It's not really my forte. I'm generally not in the thick of it, but it was happening pretty regularly last night. So I was in there a couple of times, I think. But, there was just a lot of tension out there and a lot of lit going around. It was a good old-fashioned contest to be involved in.
It was a great game. It really was a great game. Did you say to Michael Ferrito, now, Mick, why are you trying to fight everyone today?
I think there was maybe a few boys posed that question to him. He was on a bit of a warpath, but... anyway, look, whatever it takes to win. So, certainly won't begrudge them for coming out with that sort of attitude. But, glad we get over the line in the end.
It's hard to see everything on the field. Yeah, that the game or on TV, you got a better opportunity. But clearly last night I thought the Kangaroos went after Luke Bruce. Did you have that feeling, or did you see Bruce and the North players going for Bruce?
I would say they started it from before the first bounce. So I'd suggest maybe they had... some sort of talk about that, but he's a very dangerous player. So if I was playing against Hawthorn, I might go after someone like that too. But that's just footy and how it goes. So we just got to be prepared to stand up and stand our ground. And I thought we did that.
Are you aware, Ben, of the allegations made last night by Brad Scott in the post match, and what's going on as we speak this morning with the AFL and the umpiring and the alleged call of ducking?
Oh, I heard your very animated conversation just before I came on air.
Is that the first you'd heard of it?
Oh, I did hear it, but no, I don't follow much media or anything, to be honest. So, that's basically the first I'd heard of it.
So on the ground last night, you didn't hear anyone talking about ducking or anything like that?
No, not at all.
What would you think? You're a student of the game. What would you think? If it's proven true, do you think that we've got a major issue here, or it's just one of those things that happens?
Oh, I think it's obviously a contentious issue in football at the minute. That's why everyone's talking about it. As to what the exact solution is, I'm not sure. But as far as I'm concerned, the rules are the rules. So I just go out there and do my best to play by them.
Has Clarko instructed you guys on the issue at all, Ben?
No, not at all. Only on the other end of it, we know that there's players in just about every team in the league that are good at drawing their high free kicks, so you've got to be extra careful when you tackle. So that's as much as we've spoken about it.
How do you feel about your position now? I mean, on the ladder, you're certainly in a very strong position. Do you feel in some ways you're as well or better placed than last year to win another flag?
It's hard to say. I think it's something we say a lot of years, but it seems particularly even the competition this year. There's a lot of horses still in the race. So we're really happy with where we sit. We always aim for top four, which is where we've got ourselves to at the minute. So we're really pleased with that. One more game next week and then the bye, and hopefully we can make a really strong case for the second half of the year.
Sorry, man. Hey, we make our assumptions from what we see. Alistair came out after the game and he was very up, really up in his press conference. Mm. It was as though he'd coached a win last night, that something was relieved in him. Was he upbeat after the game to you guys? Did this win mean something to him beyond the normal 4 points?
He was very up and about after the game. I think he was just particularly pleased that a lot of things hadn't gone our way for the night, and we could have turned our toes up at various points, I suppose, but we just toughed it out and found a way. And I think with most coaches, those really gritty wins are the ones they enjoy the most. So I think he was just really pleased with our effort to stick together and fight it out to the end to get the win.
Ben, every now and then you see players get involved in scuffles and you think, gee, I wish he could just let a few go here. Cyril got tangled up just on, I think it was quarter time. I think Derm was watching and said, wouldn't you just love to see him go, bop, 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 three quick ones.
You make that noise again, King?
I think sometimes as a player you know who can and can't go. Who was most equipped to walk into that quarter time huddle ready to go?
Oh, probably Clarko, I'd say.
Very good.
That is a fantastic answer. Ben, thank you very much for joining us. We wish you all the best for the rest of the season.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Well,
Ben McAvoy. Sounds a bit like Terry Danaher when he was
He's a bit of a cruiser, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a country boy, Ben. Great stuff. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. There's lots more to discuss. Drew Petrie will give us the North Melbourne side of the story here on Crunch Time on 11:16 SEN. Later on, we're going to talk about the coaches under the pump. We'll have, of course, Peter Swab is going to be with us as well here on 11:16 SEN.
How's your research into the AFL looking at the audio?
Well, we followed up with Tim, and he said the Channel 7 has searched through their audio and haven't found anything at this stage.
No, haven't come up with anything.
It's all with thanks to the Australian Property and Business Group, invested at apbgroup.com.au, and Sports Fantasy Free, sportsfantasyfree.com. Play now for your chance to win.
G'day, it's Andy Maher here on Thursdays from 1. Des Dowling's in to celebrate a great player from yesteryear with Jezalinko Yuki. On 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy.